Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Why are pregnancy crisis centers that have been bombed, why are they being ignored? Why is nobody talking about this? Well, the FBI is too busy arresting pro-life leaders with SWAT teams at their home on a weekend for doing really nothing wrong at all. We talk about that. And also, what's going on America's military bases? The woke mind virus continues to infect and infiltrate in very, very serious, treacherous, and dangerous ways. You can email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school group or college group today at tpusa.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Join us on tour. We're going all across the country, tpusa.com/tour to check it out. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is a very smart man. I enjoyed spending a week with him at the wonderful Claremont Institute. Claremont Institute is a terrific organization, and they have the Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life, and they have a very important story to share with us. Ryan Williams is with us, president of the Claremont Institute. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
So, Ryan, you have this new story, Grooming Future Revolutionaries, Woke Indoctrination at K-12 Schools on America's Military Bases. So these are schools on military bases. I didn't realize that was a big thing. Apparently it is. What's going on here?
Yeah, so we got a bunch of videos from a whistleblower who attended a virtual, well, didn't attend, but got videos from a virtual conference in which educators at our military-based schools, so these are K-12 schools, about 70,000 students across the globe, a bunch of presenters. The ones we saw are the worst ones were from schools in Italy, Spain, Great Britain, and Germany. And it's continuing a trend that we've seen on K-12 schools across the country, which is this toxic blend of teaching gender ideology, teaching kids to share their pronouns if they feel so moved, even to keep this information from their parents and only discuss it with their teachers at ages as young as 4 years old, one of the presenters said. And then also the other part of it, in addition to gender ideology, is this racialized sort of systemic racism, anti-racism, critical race theory teaching, where you divide kids by skin color and tell them that the history of America is predominantly the history of oppression, and we need to get beyond that and all the rest.
So these idea pathogens, we call it the woke, find themselves in obviously universities and in schools, but the military itself is not immune to this. In fact, the military is embracing this. Is the federal government the one that is in charge of what is being taught on schools on military bases? So I would assume these are kids of active duty military personnel. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So therefore, is the federal government in charge of this curriculum?
Yeah, the agency that runs it is called the Department of Defense Education Activity, the DODA, and it's part of the DOD. It's got about a $3 billion budget, I think. So it's right now up for a debate. The National Defense Authorization Act is being debated in the Senate now. It already passed the House. So Congress has a direct role to play, and I should say they have the funding power. They can hold DOD's feet to the fire if they don't like what's being taught. But also, I mean, their military bases, the Congress basically has plenary jurisdiction. So Congress could even set the curriculum or set guidelines if they wanted to get to that level of detail. So not only the power of the purse, but also some real, you know, oversight with teeth. And that's putting it mildly.
Yeah. So just so everyone understands, we've played this clip before. We haven't played it in a couple of weeks, but this has real implications to our national security, to our ability to fight the Chinese, which seems increasingly likely given our administration and regime's inability to engage in any sort of meaningful diplomacy. And so they want us to stumble into a proxy war in Ukraine, which would be the dumbest thing ever. And even if that was a good idea, are we prepared to do it? Well, meet your new LGBTQ fighting force. We might not be able to know how to load and fire a gun, be able to deploy a missile with precision, but we will get our pronouns correct. Play cut 28.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Kanchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
That's an official video of the United States Military Department of Defense, Department of Navy. Ryan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we saw, it was reported this morning maybe, that the Army, not the Navy, but I'm sure it's true there too, the Army failed to meet its recruitment goals by 25%.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's really shocking. Huh? Yeah, this is the takeover of another sector of our institutions in America by the woke virus, mind virus, as some people call it. We saw it in the military proper, you know, in hiring and promotion practices. And the report that we've put out, my colleague Scott Yenner and I at our Center for the American Way of Life, just documents its creep into K-12 education. This started basically in 2019 when the DODA decided to emphasize diversity, equity, and inclusion. So it was a little late to come to K-12 schools on military bases, but now it's there as well. And just one important point for folks. I mean, this is a captive audience. These kids of service members have no choice but to go to these schools. If you're a foreign service brat, you know, your parents work for the State Department, you've got more options. But if you're on a military base, it's this or nothing. So there's really no escape.
It's extraordinary. Yeah, it's no more sir, yes, sir. It'll be they, yes, they is now going to be the new way to dialogue. Ryan, how do we defeat this? I know Congress and all that, but no, let's talk more philosophically. I mean, they are intentionally grooming the next generation abroad, 70,000 kids that are being taught revolutionary postmodern ideas, and who knows where they'll go.
Yeah.
And so how do we defeat this?
Well, we have to understand it first. I mean, and we have to be prepared. I know your audiences, you talk about this a lot, but in our neighborhoods and really whenever we see this sort of thing, we have to be attuned to it. So the left will say, come on, you guys are being hyperbolic. All we're doing is teaching about the history of racism in America, or all we're teaching is about inclusion at school. But no, this is part of a larger 100-year-old plus ideology. I mean, the old Marxist plan, basically right after the Russian Revolution. So, you know, 1918, 1919 was to destroy the family. And part of the way to do it was through sex education and all the rest. The latest sort of anti-racism stuff wouldn't have found much of a home in progressivism at the turn of the 20th century or in Marxism back when it was nice and racist. But these days, it's just another plank. So we have to understand this for what it is. Any of us, whether we have kids in school or we want to talk to our congressmen and try to advocate for our interests, we have to understand what this is, which is it's something other than education. It really is indoctrination. And it has as its goal the overturning of the U.S. Constitution and really the destruction of the American way of life. So at every level that we're involved in politics, from the very local all the way up to the national Congress, this should be the issue that we're focused on, which is what we're teaching our kids and what we're teaching in college and preventing this from spreading through HR departments and through diversity officers throughout everything.
I mean, the amount of cultural chemotherapy that is needed right now to remove this cancer that has just infected every single corner of America. And look, I mean, just to kind of extend the metaphor, when you chemotherapy, you're going to kill a lot of healthy cells too, okay? But I think it's necessary. We're past the part of surgical extraction. It is in every single corner of America, from HR departments to colleges. Obviously, that's kind of where it comes from. But we are now seeing it up and down the decision makers. And the military one is the one that freaks me out the most. I mean, obviously. I mean, a lot of the American dollar's ability to be the world reserve currency is we have aircraft carriers and you don't, and we have missiles and you don't. And if that ever gets put into question a little bit, it really harms American economic prosperity and amongst other things. I'm afraid that's the goal. It's an infiltrative, you know, step. Ryan, I want you to answer a question from one of our listeners, Ryan from the Great Claremont Institute. He's the president of the great organization. Ryan, one of our listeners says, Charlie, when did this all happen? Where did the mind virus originate from? We've walked through this in some detail, but I think Claremont's approach to this is unique and worthy of diving into. Where did this come from?
The ideological rot started early in the 20th century. In America, the progressivism sort of took over the federal government slowly at the turn of the 20th century, and then more aggressively through the New Deal. That's where we get all these bureaucratic agencies. They weren't originally committed to this sort of systemic racism, racialized project, or the gender ideology for that matter. But all the tools were there and all the institutions were there, basically starting in the late 1960s. Now, it started blossoming in the colleges and universities. That is the gender ideology, mm-hmm. and also the anti-racist stuff in the 90s. And now it's spread across America, as you mentioned, and as we talked about, through HR departments, through all the diversity officers in our federal agencies. It's taken 100 years, but the vehicle, one of the main vehicles through which it spread was a quickly perverted Civil Rights Act in the 1960s that was meant to finally end segregation and Jim Crow, but quickly got turned into a vehicle for affirmative action. And then a few decades later became the vehicle for imposing gender ideology and now trans ideology.
That's
and all
exactly
the
right. And no better book than Age of Entitlement that I had a chance to read at the great week that I did with the Lincoln Fellowship with the Claremont Institute. And the book was there. We talked about it and really had a chance to dive into it after that. But that's something that I think we have to zero in on, which is the civil rights regime that was put in place might have had some good intentions by some people who voted or supported. They might have been diagnosing legitimate problems. But what Caldwell really diagnoses is that aside, good intentions and problems aside, what was ushered in is this mass leviathan of an anti-racist machinery that still to this day exists to destroy private property rights, individual initiative, directives. Dare we say that Barry Goldwater was onto something when he warned us about the downsides of the Civil Rights Act?
Some of the critics were concerned that it would sort of erase federalism and lead to a wholesale takeover of state power.
And they were right.
Feds. Yeah. Barry Goldwater could not even have dreamed of the current sort of Ibram X. Kendi inspired equity anti-racist regime that's now being imposed. But he certainly saw the dangers early.
Yeah. What specifically did Barry Goldwater say? Refresh my memory if you have it on the top of your head.
Yeah. Goldwater was not against civil rights for Black Americans at all. He said that explicitly. He led some of the early advances in Arizona when he served the state of Arizona. But from the Senate, he said, look, I agree with the intentions of the Civil Rights Act, but it's just going to pervert the structure of our constitutional system. It's going to eliminate a lot of the powers of the states. And we need to find some other way of bringing an end to Jim Crow, some way that doesn't hurt the Constitution. You know, one of the early writers, or not so early, but way back, I think Richard Epstein put it this way. It was the law that ate the Constitution.
That's so well said.
Yeah. So as well-intentioned as it was, it structurally was suspect from the beginning, and we're seeing, 50 years later, the fruit of it.
And they're not slowing down, because it has set this precedent where then everything becomes a civil rights claim. And as soon as that happens, it's almost rooted in, I have moral superiority to be able to do basically whatever I want to do, because if you dare question the precedent set by the Civil Rights Act, not the civil rights movement, and those two things get conflated, which is legitimate complaints about equal access and opportunity to the actual act itself, and they conflate the act and the movement, kind of washing over the historical accuracy of that. And there we are, we're living today. So Ryan Williams from the Claremont Institute, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word CHARLIE to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone. Just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. Jim Harden is on the program right now. Jim, welcome to the show. And he is with Compass Care, which is Planned Parenthood Alternatives. What an important mission that is, I'll tell you what, to actually offer meaningful help for people that need it other than Planned Parenthood. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. It's an honor to be with you again.
Thank you. You were great last time, an honor to have you. So I just want to ask you a question. There have been 60 pro-life facilities firebombed across the country in the last couple months since the whisper of the Dobbs decision and the illegal leak, of which we still don't know who leaked it. Has there been any federal arrest from the Department of Justice or FBI of any person who has firebombed a pro-life pregnancy crisis center?
Well, if you asked the FBI director, Christopher Wray, that question in the Senate Judiciary Committee, his answer would be, I'm not sure. But my answer is zero. None. How is it that I can know that and the director of the FBI not know that? There needs to be a manhunt going on. Where's the manhunt? You've got pro-abortion terrorist group yes. out there known as Jane's Revenge. And there's nothing. But you've got a nonviolent pro-life leader in Pennsylvania who's getting a SWAT-like raid on his house and putting his wife and children under the gun. I don't get it. I mean, look, if the FBI didn't do it themselves, they're involved and they're choosing not to make arrests. And we're pushing back on them saying, look, it's got to stop. It's time to stop the politicization of federal law enforcement and apply the law equally. We have 14th Amendment rights. We have rights to equal protection under the law. And it's being denied us. We're being robbed of our 14th Amendment rights. And not only that, not only are they abdicating their duty, but these 28 congressmen back, I think it was last week, they released a concept that a Protect Pregnancy Center Care Act. And they're saying, look, they've abdicated their duty. But not only that, but we're being attacked now. We're being attacked. Pro-life people there's character assassination, there's vilification, there's demonization. And it's not just happening through the FBI now. Happening through pro-abortion politicians.
We're not going to put up with this. And I'm so glad you have the courage to speak out. I'm a little bit more forceful at times. These cowardly pastors that talk a good game in their massive megaplex churches that might say a thing or two about being pro-life. Like, where are you actually speaking out now that 60 pro-life centers, they're actually in the front lines of helping people make the proper decision, not just talk about it, have been firebombed? Mark Houck gets treated like El Chapo with 30 people, the armed guards show up to his home.
Right.
And so, look, that's not even a double standard. We're beyond that. This is an all-out campaign. It is a crusade from the regime against pro-lifers. They have said openly that pro-life centers should not exist. And so I don't even want to call them pro-life centers. I call them that just kind of out of, you know, colloquially. But can you talk about what is a pregnancy crisis center? I think it's very important. Not every American knows what they are. What is a pregnancy crisis center?
Sure. Well, before I answer that question, I just want to agree with you with respect to the churches and the pastors. I've said this for years. Abortion is not a political issue. It's not just another social issue. Abortion represents a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be human under God. And it's specifically the purview of the pastor to talk about that. And silence is unconscionable for a moral leader on this particular issue. This is the greatest social injustice the world has ever seen, with tens of millions of abortions every year. Anyway, let me just talk about what a pregnancy center is. A pregnancy center is, as you described it on the intro, essentially the answer. It is the ethical version of Planned Parenthood. These are organizations that are run mostly by volunteers, medical providers, and counselors. And our job, essentially, when a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she says, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no other choice. I need to have an abortion. And a pregnancy center's mission is to erase the need for abortion in her mind with ethical medical care and comprehensive community support, to give her a vision of her future after having had a child, to give her the ability to say no to abortion because her circumstances are coercing her to do something that she would not normally want to do under normal circumstances. And so it takes, we do it all for free, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort, thought, coordination. And what does an abortionist, what does an abortion clinic do? What does Planned Parenthood do? They do abortions and they do it for a fee because they're mercenary. Mm-hmm. They don't care about women. They don't care about women's health. They don't care about quality of care or standard of care. They care about the bottom line, and that is money made. So they're capitalizing on the crisis.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why they're getting into medical mutilation of children now with this whole transgender thing. It's all about profit. Yeah. They see a huge profit opportunity there. I want to plug your website, compasscare.info. If you live in California, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Wyoming, they have a great pregnancy crisis, let's just say, referral network. Find a center near you. These are all Compass Care. Is that all under the Compass Care umbrella? Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We have pregnancy centers. We have 650 pregnancy centers that are using our systems. We've got closer affiliate organizations as well. And we're actually in the process, because of all this, I mean, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. We're in the process of since 2018, of delivering pregnancy centers to 21st century telehealth tools to compete head on with the $1 billion abortion complex. And we're able to do that now for the first time since 1973. And that may be one of the reasons why the abortion industry is resorting to violence. They can't compete. We've got operations in all 50 states. And they're having to be limited, and they're trying to get women to get these dangerous drugs sent to them in the mail.
So if you know anyone with an unplanned pregnancy that is contemplating an abortion in California, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wyoming, go to compasscare.info. They have a network. And by the way, every state has a pregnancy crisis center, I think. But that list is a really good list. But there is a reason. They're really worried about you. And it's one thing to be able to have differences of opinion. The left, they're done with that. The left is all about power, all about force. Here's Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts saying we need to shut them down. Cut 31.
Crisis pregnancy centers that are there to fool people who are looking for pregnancy termination help outnumber true abortion clinics by 3-1. We need to shut them down here in Massachusetts, and we need to shut them down all around the country.
Even if you are okay with abortion, which obviously I'm pro-life and you are, this is a whole nother step forward. This is using the power of the state to say that there should not be options available for people that want to keep their child. Your reaction?
Well, it is, what she's doing is illegal. And we've got a team of over 30 attorneys looking into all the various aspects of the collusion that's going on. The words that she used are the words that Jane's Revenge, the pro-abortion terrorist group, uses. And the words that Google and Yelp are beginning to use relative to censoring pregnancy centers. I've said this before. I'll say it here. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And people looked at me kind of strange when I said that back in June. But I said, I'll keep saying it until we get an arrest. The what made Kristallnacht the tipping point of violence into the Jewish community in 1938 Germany was a refusal on the part of the political elite to denounce the violence and instead join in the violence, and then a lack of public outcry. We're beginning to see a public outcry now, but the political elite have joined in the attacks. This kind of collusion needs to be investigated. And my theory is, and I don't know this for sure, but my theory is they don't want any arrests. Because as soon as they get an arrest, people are going to start drawing the direct lines to the dots.
Yeah, so
between.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. You're right. Drawing the line, be able to surface it. Finish that thought. I thought of something. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I think they're going to start drawing, connecting the dots between the collusion and the people that are involved, like these pro-abortion politicians, the pro-abortion terrorist groups, and big tech. I think it's going to be a massive. A display of corruption, and it'll swamp all these pro-abortion Democratic political votes.
There are some people in our audience that don't share my views on abortion, and they consider themselves to be pro-choice. But if you shut down pregnancy crisis centers, there's no choice involved in that at all. There's no choice. That is forced. Let me ask you, what states have these terrorist attacks occurred in? Have there been any red states, or do they mostly do this in blue states?
Well, that's a good question. What we found is that there are attacks in all states, red and blue. We're not, you know, it looks like there's a majority of states have experienced these attacks, it doesn't seem like they're making any distinction
I asked for a reason. Where are the Republican attorney generals or the local DAs or the sheriffs? I mean, you could give me an example. I would imagine just by population, there's probably been a terrorist attack in Texas or in Florida or in South Carolina. Or why are we waiting on the federal government? The federal government's not going to do anything. We need to arrest these terrorists, confiscate their devices legally once you do that, and find out who is behind the bombing of pro-life crisis centers.
There needs to be a manhunt. And to answer your question, I don't know where the AGs are. Although there were 17 AGs that came out in middle of July saying, look, they wrote an open letter to Google and they said, if you knuckle under to the demands of these pro-abortion senators demanding that they restrict their freedom of speech rights of pregnancy centers on their search engine platforms, that they will investigate for antitrust violations. So we have told them that that's going on. And it seems like they're beginning to pursue those things. Also, we've got a team of attorneys of our own pursuing it. So there are some things percolating. It is our hope that people step up and start contacting their state AGs and asking them what they're doing to be proactive about investigating these domestic terrorist activities. But so far, we don't know that there's anything additional that's going on.
Really quick, 1 minute remaining. Can you just talk about how dangerous what these people are doing? They're committing arson against your buildings, inflicting tens of thousands of dollars of damage, putting lives in danger. These are acts of terrorism. This is, if this was done to a mosque or to anywhere else, could you imagine if this was being done to a BLM headquarters or anything like that? What if this, no, let me ask you a question, Mark, 30 seconds remaining. If a bunch of religious people firebombed the Planned Parenthood, how would that be treated by the law?
Instantaneous retribution. I mean, without a doubt. In fact, well, you know, we had two firefighters get hurt, $500,000 of damage, nothing's happening. But if that were to, we in fact, July 31st, there was a Planned Parenthood that was an attempted firing of a Planned Parenthood, no, hardly any damage. Joint federal task force gets together, finds the guy in 4 days with charred remains of a log. I mean, now he's facing 20 years in jail. I'm glad they found the criminal, but what about us? Where's the equal protection under the law there? All because we believe that everybody's made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection.
Republicans, I'm so sick of these people sometimes. You use have political power. They're committing acts of terrorism against pro-life centers. And where are the arrests? Where are the perp walks? Where are the device confiscation? Nothing. Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you gotta own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals. Give them a call or go to their website, AndrewandTodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to AndrewandTodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. So, Jim, talk a little bit more about this post-Dobbs. How many facilities do you know that have yet to reopen or having difficulty reopening because of the terrorism that has been committed against them with no arrests?
That's a good question, Charlie. You know, a lot of these terrorist activities are, you know, intimidation tactics, a lot of graffiti, a lot of broken windows and doors. But there've only been a handful of firebombings like ours. I don't know if they've, quite frankly, I don't know the status of them. It's very difficult to get a hold of those organizations. My guess is that they're experiencing similar types of activity. Our threats are ongoing. We had to, reopen under threat of additional attack. In fact, when we were firebombed, Jane's Revenge came out with another communique saying, taking responsibility. And they said, if you don't stop, if you don't, you know, close down, next time it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti, which is a murder threat.
Of course it is. But do the local police not care? Let's talk about local police. Are they not doing their job either? Why are they not arresting people?
That's a great question. That's why we're filing. We had to file a lawsuit to get our video back. there was so the damage was so catastrophic in our facility that we couldn't even, the power was out, fire damage, water damage, you name it. And we couldn't make a copy. So we, in good faith, gave them our video surveillance, which was extensive. We multiple points of entry with these Molotov cocktails. And they won't even let us see it. You would think it would be part of their procedure to let the victims see who was perpetrating the violence to get some leads, but they didn't even let us see the video. We asked on multiple occasions, and we had to get our attorney involved. Now we had to talk, our attorney had to talk to the town attorney who's representing the police department. And he said, look, we don't want to give it back to you because we're afraid that if it got out, it would foment violence from the right. Okay. Think about that.
Who said this?
This is the town attorney representing the police department.
What town
in charge
is this?
Of the investigation. Amherst, First Ring suburb of Buffalo. This is the town attorney, Sliva was his name. And he Stanley Sliva. And he basically said, when asked about it, a reporter from, I think it was the Epoch Times, John Ransom, asked him, why would you think that? I mean, why would you think that, you know, it would foment violence from the right? And he said, well, you know, and he's referring to pro-life people now. These people are AK-47 gun-toting people that are blowing up people and killing people. They're nut jobs, he said. We're nut jobs. This is the town attorney representing the people in charge of the investigation for what has happened to us. We're the victims here. We're not the ones going around firebombing and threatening people. We're pro-life. To be pro-life means we don't agree with that kind of violence. We believe all people are made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection. I stood out there on June 7th after the firebombing with a smoldering facility behind me saying, look, we even value the lives of the people that firebombed us. I think justice needs to be served. But look, the true pro-life position is that everybody needs to be protected because we're made in the image of God. That's the source of dignity. And if you extract God from this, from who we are as people, we've got no foundation for dignity, no foundation for a justice system,
and
no
so,
foundation
yeah, the,
for
the,
moral
So the
outrage.
Local government in the Buffalo area just doesn't care. That's what I'm hearing. Is that right?
That's what it looks like. Yeah. And the FBI, I mean, it's another matter altogether. I had the FBI actually call me on June 20th. I called them on June 24th because Jane's Revenge, the pro-abortion terrorist group, basically was calling for a night of rage. And if this was a couple of weeks after we'd been firebombed, and we knew two weeks beforehand because they were doing all kinds of stuff. So we reported suspicious activity to the FBI and to local police 2 weeks before we were firebombed. They didn't do anything with it. And then we asked on June 24th, when the Dobbs case came out reversing Roe, are you allocating any additional law enforcement resources for people like pro-life people and organizations? And the FBI agent in charge basically started yelling at me on the telephone. I'm not kidding you. I know it sounds crazy, but have you ever been yelled at by an FBI agent?
No.
I'm just asking an honest question. And he literally shut me down, yelled at me and said, I'm not talking to you again. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Wait a second.
Yeah, that's your
what do
government.
You mean deal with me anymore?
That's your government.
What is that? We are being denied equal protection under the law and we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop because it's not just us. We're not vying for our own rights. We are going to maintain our place in the public square because women and children are in crisis and need us.
I agree. Thank you so much for joining us, compasscare.info. And I just want to let you know we have your back 100%. It's just terrible what you've had to go through. But you're
thank
welcome
you,
back on this program anytime. Jim Harden, thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.